What is up, everybody? Welcome to All Things Gaming with ALWZ Gaming. I am your boy, Flash, a.k.a. Malachi36, as you can see right up in here. And I am with, it's the Nine Ball. How are you doing today, good sir?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back.
We missed you, man. We missed you. It's been a long time. What games have you been playing?
I've still been playing quite a bit now of Death Stranding.
Heard that. Okay.
On the mailman simulator thing.
Getting ready for the director's cut?
No, just playing it. Also, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Interesting. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later today. But I have to slide it on over to Mildewy, Carrot. Almost harvest time, my boy. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
Can't complain, can't complain. And you know I'm going to be asking you, what have you been playing?
Fortunately, I've been playing a crap ton of Conan. I got it on the summer Steam sale. So, I've only had it for a couple of days, and I've probably logged almost 100 hours. So, yeah, that's wow. Where my time's been going for it. But it's fun, especially with the additional add-ons that I've gotten to make kind of flush out the game a bit from the original Exile Lands. And then, of course, Isle of Sipitath is very unique and has expanded itself recently. So it's interesting, you know, and very time-consuming.
Heard that, yep. I went ahead and got The Witcher because it was free over the weekend from GOG. So I made an account, got my Witcher copy. I was going to go ahead and try to play The Witcher. Does not have controller support. And this is the first Witcher, so it doesn't have controller support. So I'm going to come back to it when I have more time and I'm in the headspace of using keyboard and mouse and everything like that. But I thought that was kind of interesting that a game that I know predominantly on Xbox and PlayStation didn't have controller support on PC. Jump any further, got to give a shout out to Sweating_Llama for the sub. Appreciate you. For 5 months, they've been subscribing to us for 5 months. So much love and appreciation. Can't thank you enough. For anyone that, again, that knows us, we're just nerdy friends that like to get together, give you guys video game news, talk about current topics. And today we actually have 5 stories to talk about. As you guys saw from the thumbnail of it, you saw my homie sulking because one of his games that he had selected had got delayed until 2022. So before I even dive into the story, what's everyone's headspace at this? Was anyone expecting Ghostwire Tokyo to get delayed?
I mean, I was expecting Ghostwire Tokyo, but I mean, I was expecting delays. But that was kind of a shocker, but I'm hoping it's for good reasons.
I heard that. What about you there, Nine Ball?
I really wasn't expecting Ghostwire Tokyo because it looked pretty complete to me. I don't know why they're delaying. Well, I don't know why they're delaying it, but we're going to find out together.
Yeah, we are. And we're going to find out right now. So story number one that we have is Ghostwire Tokyo delayed. Eddie Mackey from GameSpot says, Ghostwire Tokyo, the next game from the Evil Within studio, Tango Gameworks, has been delayed. It's now scheduled to release in early 2022. Quote, "We made the decision to delay the launch of Ghostwire Tokyo to early 2022. We want to get the game in your hands as soon as possible as you can experience the unforgettable version of a Honda Tokyo that we've been hard at work building. At the same time, we're also focused on protecting the health of everyone at Tango," end quote. Reads a line from the developer statement. Quote, "Our new release window will give us time to bring the world of Ghostwire Tokyo to life as we've always envisioned it," end quote. Quote, "Thank you for being patient as we work to bring the experience unlike anything else we've made. We can't wait to show you more in the coming months," end quote, and end story. So that kind of does sum it up. Yeah, that sums it up. I'm on the same ship as Nineball. Like, at the middle of last year, actually, it looked more complete. And we actually saw another look from it. To me, looked like kind of like a VR experience because it's in first person. And it was like a action-y type thing. Like, it does seem like a haunted game, but it seems like an action haunted game in first person, which was kind of unique. Still not my forte. You guys know I'm a pansy when it comes to stuff like that. But still, it did look looked more interesting, a little more complete, and I was pretty confident that it was going to get launched this year, which is why nobody even dared to mess with the Emil Dewey Care on your list when it came to the Fantasy Gaming League.
Nope. So, but yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and I'm all that. Definitely looked complete, you know, but... You know, with their statement and all saying that they're worried about protecting the health of, you know, their employees and all, it kind of goes back to the comment about COVID, you know, with the whole work at home situations where, you know, they're not connected directly inside an office to a server. You know, it's there's a lot of communications that need to go on, you know, or connections. So it might cause a bit of delay, you know. So like I said, I was expecting delays this year, but I'll definitely agree with you both. I was not expecting Ghostwire Tokyo to be one of them. I'm sad that my fantasy league got hit like that, but I'm happy that they're taking time to try and make sure that they get us a game that we'll all be happy playing. Well, me and Nineball, you know, you'll just be playing FIFA probably saying, nope.
I'll be on the stream. I'm just not going to be in the game. I will watch. I will look, but I won't touch. You feel me?
Watch. He's going to have it on, but the monitor's going to be like muted and turned off. You know, he's not even going to be looking at it. Phone's going to be face down on the couch.
Never. What are your comments there, Nineball? Corner Pocket, what do you think about this after hearing the article, and where's your headspace at? Has it changed at all from 15 seconds ago, or are you pretty much the same?
It makes more sense. I mean, when I first heard the top thing, I thought it was just, you know, for graphics, but I think it's for crunch period, so they don't want to force their people into, like, a crunch, which has been a huge problem in the gaming industry as of late.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Being more shined upon with the whole Anthem thing.
Yeah, 2077 had that issue a bit too.
Yeah,
towards the end.
Anthem 2077. A lot of games actually. I believe even Red Dead 2 had it for a bit.
I won't be surprised.
That but, Death March.
Yep, that pushed it in. But I'm glad that they're taking their time. Take your time. Just give us a good game. That's all I'm going to say.
And the thing about it is that it's a brand new IP. There's no sequel. There's no prequel, I should say. There's no prequel. There's nothing like that. This is a whole... and I mean, that's correct, right? Like, there's no other game that's leading into Ghostwire Tokyo, right?
Not that we're aware of, no. As far as I know. I know that they're the ones who made The Evil Within, mm-hmm. So... I haven't heard of anything of them using the same universe. Have you, Nineball?
The Evil Within. I hope it's not in the same universe.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way, but I'm like, I don't think it is, but we're talking about Tokyo versus the location where Evil Within took place, so I don't know.
Where did
that? I really don't know.
I'm going to look that up as you guys discuss. I'm going to see where Evil Within took place.
The Evil Within took place in a killer's mind.
Yeah. But there was I didn't see a location. Like, I don't
think there was. Basically, they go, I believe, to a mental ward.
Crimson like City.
Yeah. They
Crimson like City, yeah. It's a fictional city.
Yeah, they had went to, like, a mental home or something. There was, like, a crazed killer killing all the cops. And he's kind of just teleporting around doing it. Then he goes to the one guy and kind of lets him enter his head.
Okay, so that's a game I'm never checking out.
All right. Oh, you want to. It's so much fun.
No.
I got to play The Evil Within 2, though.
Yeah. Yep. Speaking of 2, story number 2. So this one, so we just talked about Mildewy Carrot's game that's on his list that he had to push back. There's a game that's on my list that I still am holding on to for dear life, and I can't get rid of it because someone had counterpicked it. And yes. It
sounds like a cliffhanger movie.
So, with that being said, the game that I had selected on my Fantasy Gaming League is Final Fantasy 16. They had confirmed that the story is complete and the voiceovers is almost finished. So, Michael Higham from GameSpot says, during the latest Final Fantasy 14 live letter from the producer stream, a few new details about the next mainline entry in the series, Final Fantasy 16, came out from a producer, Nako Yoshida. The team has finished the main story for the scenario, Final Fantasy 16, and the English voiceovers are almost done being recorded. Unfortunately, Yoshida-san has also said it's likely that the Final Fantasy 16 will not make an appearance at Tokyo Game Show 2021. TGS is scheduled to take place September 30th to October 3rd. Crap! That does not help my case! Okay. All right. That hurt me. Back to the article. The single-player game could be kept out of the public eye for a bit longer than we hoped. Oh, my gosh. Let me get through this article before you crush my soul, Yoshida. Come on.
He's already crying.
This information comes from a translation via the r/Final Fantasy 14 Discord channel of the conversation between Yoshida-san and NieR director Yoko Taro during the live stream. Translators via Twitter have also interpreted what Yoshida-san said during the stream, including the implication that the next time he wants to show Final Fantasy 16 when it's ready. Quote, end quote, end story. I hope those translators all mistranslated something, because that is some poop. That is some poop mixed in with diarrhea. You know what I mean? That is some crap.
Nope.
I don't like that.
Mildewy, I'm going to be honest. I think only one person is surprised by
this. I'm not surprised. I'm just hurt.
I had hope.
I'm trying to speak into existence.
I'm going
to
agree with Malachi a bit. I don't think he's surprised. I think he's just finally realized
that. He's
in the second stage of the denial. You know? He's going through those stages, you know. I'm actually kind of going to text his wife here in a minute just to see if she can get a recording when he starts to get into that last stage, you know, of acceptance.
Never. It's happening. It is happening. Against all odds, it's happening this year.
It'll happen. 2077.
Stop it. First off, I mean, obviously this doesn't really shock any of us. I have high hopes for it, and it was a risky move that I did during the Fantasy Gaming League, which I know I've explained numerous times on this podcast, but for anyone that is curious to know what the Fantasy Gaming League I'm talking about is, literally works just like fantasy football, but instead of it being a week-to-week thing, it's an annual thing, and you're not against one person, you're against everybody that's in the league. How it works is that you have 8 picks, but the first, well, 4 picks, I should say. You have 4 picks that you have inside the draft. And then after the draft is over, you have 4 open spots that you can pick and you have to bid for. Pretty much, it's on a 100-point scale. Anything that scores above 70... on the Metacritic will gain you points. Anything that will score below 70 loses you points. So, for example, if I had Final Fantasy 16 and it came out and it was a 90 on the Metacritic, then that's 20 points that I would earn from my team, because that's 20 points above 70. However, if you get something like Bugsnacks and it does a 60 on Metacritic, that will lose you 10 points, because that is 10 points below 70. And whoever has the most points at the end of it all wins the entire league. And of course, we have something that's inside the mix called counter picks, to where if I chose a game that is on Mildewy Carrot's list, if it does not drop, he cannot remove that game to try to pick up another game. So that's going to screw him over one way. But there's a caveat to it. If it does well and I pick that game, I get hurt. All those points that it would have gained, I lose for my score. But if it does, on the opposite side, if it does poorly, then I gain those points, and Mildewy Carrot still loses those points. So with that being said, I have the Mildewy Carrot. I have the Fantasy Gaming Critic pulled up right now, and this is how it looks. I have no games that came out so far. I'm the only player that doesn't have a single game that came out yet.
He's going to come back in the fourth quarter. You know, he's hoping the Browns will score a touchdown.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So I have... representing ALWT Gaming, Horizon Forbidden West, Deathloop, Halo Infinite, Final Fantasy 16, Far Cry 6, Solar Ash, Dying Light 2, Stay Human, Call of Duty 2021, and I have a counter pick of God of War Ragnarok, which is on Ohio's list, and it's been confirmed it's not coming out this year, so yay me. Then, holding the crown right now in first place is Zaka TV by yours truly, It's the Nine Ball. He has Resident Evil Village, which got him 14 points. He has Returnal, which got him 16 points. He has Warhammer 40K Dark Tide, which is still pending. Pending to come out. He has The Medium, which got him 5 points. Which I found out, by the way, that's coming on PlayStation. I did not realize that. I thought it was an Xbox exclusive. That's coming out for PlayStation. It's
made by Team Blooper. They probably just got exclusive rights to it.
Or like just like a year exclusivity or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not like know that.
This. Flash, let me just put it like this. Do you like Silent Hill?
No.
I ain't touching
it. Okay, then don't play to
me. He's not going to play half of your games, bro. Like, we've talked about this before. We told you at the time we tried to get him to play the Silent Hill. He played the Silent Hill demo, like, for the one that they canceled. He played, 5 seconds. PT. Yeah, he played, 10 seconds of it, and he just quit.
You're giving me too much credit. It was less than that.
I was counting the squealing time.
I got PT on the PC.
Moving on with your list, we have Ruin King, A League of Legends Story, which is pending to come out. He has Oddworld Soulstorm, which got him 1 point. Guilty Gear Strive, which got him 15 points. Mario Golf Super Rush, which got him 2 points. And he has a counterpick of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, which is confirmed. It's not coming out. So sorry, Silent, as we're going to get to your list here in a second. In fourth place right now. Did not see this coming. Carrot Patch Inc., which is yours truly, Mildewy Carrot. He has 2 games at launch, and he's in fourth place, so he's in a good spot. But he has Monster Hunter Rise, which got him 18 points. Kena Bridge of Spirits pending to come out. Ghostwire Tokyo, pushed back to the next year, so he's got to switch that. Shin Megami Tensei 5. Psychonauts 2, 12 minutes, all pending to come out. It Takes 2 got him 18 points. Stray got him, it's pending to come out. And he has a counterpick of Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach, which is on LSB Live's list. Sitting there in third place is Fantasy Football by Silent. He has Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 not coming out this year. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart got him 18 points. Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga pending to come out this year. New Pokemon Snap got him 10 points. Axiom Verge 2 pending to come out this year. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. Battlefield 2042 both pending to come out this year. Scarlet Nexus got him 10 points. And he has a counterpick of Black for Blood, which is probably going to bite him in the back. So that's how he's going to get the blood. And then going on over to LSB Live, he has Bravely Default 2. He's sitting in second place, by the way. Bravely Default 2, which got him 8 points. Near Replicant version 1.22474487139 got him 13 points. Little Nightmares 2 has 13 points. Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach pending to come out. The Dark Pictures Anthology House of Ashes pending to come out. Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin, 11 points it got him. Tales of Arise, which looks fan-freaking-tastic, pending to come out. Neo, The World Ends With You, pending to come out. He has a counterpick of, I don't want to say, because it's me. Final Fantasy 16. Shut up! and sitting comfortably in last place, which will probably be like that for the remainder of the year, yes, I'm talking trash, is Ohio by Ohio. He has God of War Ragnarok, which will not release. Back for Blood, pending to come out. Humankind, pending to come out. Evil Genius 2, World Domination, got him 70 points, but then drastically taken away by Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance, which lost him 11 points. And then Biomutant didn't do him any favors by losing 3 points. He has 2 open spots still, and he's just going to lose more points because he chose Halo Infinite, which is on my list to be counterpicked.
It depends on how you look at it, though. I mean, to be honest,
I like your optimism.
I mean, you gotta look at it. If we was playing golf, he would be winning. -7. He's got it.
If he plays, if he's playing with you in that Super Mario Golf, you know he's definitely, you know.
Oh yeah, he's got that.
Nice way to look at it, but yeah, but with that being said, back to the Final Fantasy 16 story. Like I said, I'm devastated. It was hard for me to read that article, but obviously, if I would rather them have the time to make it a perfect game, make sure it launches with all the love and care that they gave for Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1, I should say. Can't wait for Part 2. But what are your guys' thoughts? Are you guys even excited about a new Final Fantasy coming out? Does this do anything for you guys? Like, what's up?
I wasn't too surprised that it's probably not going to come out this year. Sounds like they got the main story done. They probably got to do the side quests and stuff. I don't know much about 16. I've seen some gameplay, but
I don't really know much about 16. I mean, that's the thing, is that all the Final Fantasies, each one, are entirely different universes, entirely different stories. Sometimes you have little Easter eggs in there that might tie the two. I know me and you, Nineball, have talked about this before, between the 7 and 10, how that connects and everything. But it's like one of those things where it's just like, does it really connect? I don't know. Like, the developers are very, like, I don't know, very vague. Like, it's like a mystery. If they intended that or not. So with that being said, I have no idea what 16 is going to be about either. And I'm a Final Fantasy fan myself.
I don't think anyone really knows. They seem to be very tight-lipped on all of these stories when they come out. I will counter on you in one thing. There is one tying together, and that's the Chocobo for all Final Fantasies. So,
they have stuff like that.
They are the god of Final Fantasy, about to the Chocobo. I'm kind of like, okay, they're taking a bit of time, but you know, it's like they've stated that they're trying to do it to make sure that they get it done right, you know, which is okay. You know, after the whole issue of 2077, we've all stated before in the past episodes, take your time, guys. We can wait an extra year. It's not going to kill us. A lot of us have backlogs of games that we got to get through anyway. So taking an extra year to get a game done and get it done right is paramount versus just launching something now and then have to try and patch it multiple times to try and even make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm okay with that. I am just hoping, though, that the story is a bit better than 15's. I haven't played it yet, but I've heard it's kind of okay.
So I will go ahead with the comment, and I will chime in on that.
So I mean, I haven't played it yet. Like I said, I've heard it's like, you know, it's not like, you know, wow, but it's okay. You know, versus what, you know, you've all heard of Malachi over here and Nineball and all of them and Gravity when they played Final Fantasy VII. They're like, oh my god, you know. So yeah, hopefully they do right by us on this one. So we'll find out. Power to the Chocobo.
And that is something, too, as well, for anyone that is listening to this right now on Anchor or live on Twitch or later on YouTube. Final Fantasies in general, they do have different stories, but there are some things that do carry over. So, like, you're always going to see a character inside the game named Cid, and he's always going to have a profession as a pilot or some sort of mechanic or something. Chocobos are a gem. Moogles, you're going to see them everywhere. You have some...
I forgot the Moogles.
Yeah, you have some... And even they even carry over in Kingdom Hearts, because that's still considered a Final Fantasy. And then even for some of the summons, they might be called different things, but usually you'll have your Ifrit, you have your Shiva, you have your Bahamut. Like, you have that's in there. So there are certain Biggs and Wedge. You see them everywhere. So you are going to see some sort of stuff that's like tied in each different game, and they kind of have a certain representation about them, but they don't really connect per se. But to the comment of 15 was actually good. It wasn't OMG like Final Fantasy VII Remake or Final Fantasy VII Original or Final Fantasy VIII or 10. It was nothing like that, but it was something that was just like, all right, this is cool. And I get where they're coming from, because again, that was supposed to be the Final Fantasy that got all people into it. It was a Final Fantasy for everybody, because prior to 15, what were they? They were practically turn-based, with the exception of 12 and 13. They were practically all turn-based.
If I'm remembering 12 right and 13, like, you can argue on those two. Those were kind of...
Yeah, it was like cooldowns and stuff.
Especially ATVs. 12. Dear God, 12, yeah. you literally could just make it turn-based. That's literally what it was. Like, you could run around and all, but any combat was turn-based.
Yeah. And that's pretty much like, so when they went inside 15, they strictly tried to have it to where it can cater to everybody, not just the Final Fantasy fanboy fan base, aka Malachi.
Yeah, we played the multiplayer for that.
You know what happened when you make a game for everybody, though?
Yeah, true. But I will say, even with that being said, 15 was actually really good. My qualm with 15 was that the mainline story, which is known for Final Fantasies, they're known for their lengthy, great storytelling. They're known for their graphic fidelity. They're known for the difficult bosses. They're known for stuff like that. It was extremely short. Extremely short. You could definitely get 80 hours out of the game for sure, but that's 80 hours with you doing the main story and all of the side quests and the DLCs and stuff like that. Outside of that, if you just mainlined it, which was what you typically do for Final Fantasy games anyway, if you just mainlined it, you could beat the game in 20, 25 hours. That is extremely short for a Final Fantasy. So,
especially for a mainline story.
Yeah, yeah. So that,
and how beneficial were the sides to the main?
They have no relation. Absolutely no relation. I mean,
with the sides just getting like a power-up boost, you know, for a better fight of the boss.
The DLCs itself were more in tune because there's parts inside the main story that, like, you separate from your teammates, and then when you come back together, you look at them like, what the hell happened to you? Or something like that. Like, there's stuff that happens, and those are explained in the DLC. So if you get the DLC, then you can get more lore, more backstory of what they went through and everything like that. So that part is cool. But as far as the actual side quest stuff, there's no correlation. I mean, like, they do have correlation with the side characters. But outside of that, it doesn't benefit you in any way besides just being a little stronger, maybe having some extra items at the end. That's pretty much it.
Gotcha.
Why even put them in?
That's what I'm saying.
Filler content, extra things, trying to get people to play longer, probably make it think that it's worthwhile and it's not. Or something. Like I said, something to give them a boost while not actually having just to do a base grind, you know?
To an extent.
They can do like a mini story off the side that's not pertaining to it, but it's a good way to get leveling without actually having to go onto a field and grind levels, you know?
And one thing I will give them because of what they did do, and then we'll move on to the next one, but what they did do is that, like, Final Fantasies also are known for their special bosses, known as weapons usually. So, like, Omega Weapon, Ultima Weapon, all those, they're typically the hardest to fight in the game, usually. So with that being said, that still does exist in 15. So that is cool that you can go out there and find them and find the harder bosses that's harder to fight, that's harder than the main boss and beat them. But again, the main story is what made me a Final Fantasy fanatic, and that just wasn't there. The game is much better after you watch the movie Kingsglaive because those tie together, so that's cool. But as a standalone, it's probably a 7 out of 10, 6 out of 10, I would say. And again, this is coming from someone that adores Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy VII Remake, on the other hand, that is a 10 out of freaking 10. That is a gem of a freaking game.
I think I've got the free edition I got to play through still.
Yeah, that's
the one that was on the PlayStation Plus a while ago.
Yeah, dude, that is a great, meaty, great game. And they surprised me because I was not expecting that much content out of Midgar, which in the base game only took you like 2 or 3 hours to get out of.
If we can find the episode, guys, you can go back and listen to Malachi's rant on that. He went for an hour.
I certainly did. But we're not going to do that today because we're going to talk about story number 3. But before I do that, let me go ahead and remind you guys again. If you guys like energy drinks or if you guys like workout powders or water supplements, make sure you guys are checking out us at repsports.com. That's R-E-P-P sports.com. Type in ALWT Gaming at checkout and get 15% off those things I just mentioned. They got different flavors, which is quite delicious. And I'm going to commit this week, and I'm going to get myself another pack because I'm well overdue. But they got guava mango. They got sour gummy worm. Let that sink in. Sour gummy worm, folks.
If I can't finish with it, I don't care.
But it's quite delicious, so make sure you guys check it out. And of course, you guys can also check out our content at ALWTGaming.com. That's www.ALWTGaming.com, which stands for At Least We Try Gaming. We have, again, all of our videos and photos and stuff like that all in one hub. You guys could check that out. But also, we have merchandise there. If you guys go to the About Us section, click on merchandise, you guys get a little mug, a little face mask. I know COVID is getting to the tail end of that, but you might as well have it for decoration. You know what I mean? Have yourself a little t-shirt. Get yourself a little hoodie. I mean, this is a little custom hoodie, so you can't have this one. But you guys can get a hoodie that's similar to how Mildewy Carrot has his. Or one of the other hoodies that I have inside the closet that's ALWD Gaming that you guys can also get. I think you guys are going to appreciate it. But back to thy story. Number 3, Horizon Zero Dawn sale. Ladies and gents, we're getting closer to Forbidden West. And with that being said, I'm not going to hold Janae's sights any further from GameSpot. She says the Steam Summer Sale ended last week, as did one of the best discounts, Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition, for $30, down from its $50 list price. If you didn't snag Zero Dawn during Steam's annual sale, however, you're in luck, because there's an even better discount available right now. PC Keys Store CD Keys currently has Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition Steam Keys for just $19.59. That's the cheapest we've seen the Zero Dawn for PC, and a phenomenal price for the bundle that gets you both the base game and expansion. You'll get the Steam key immediately after purchase, which you can use to activate the Steam launcher to add the game to your library and story. Horizon Zero Dawn, still a fantastic game. If you guys have not jumped to it yet, if you guys haven't jumped to it now, what are you doing? What are you doing if you haven't jumped to it? Like, talk to them, Mildewy.
They're missing out is what they're doing. They're not living life. They're sitting there waiting for Final Fantasy 16 to drop is what they're doing.
That could be facts. that could be actual
facts. Well, they could be sitting there waiting for it to drop while playing some Horizon Zero Dawn. Getting ready for Forbidden West, which will probably drop sooner than 16 will, you know? Two games. Look at that. There you go. You got entertainment value while you wait.
I'm very confident that Forbidden West is going to drop before 16. Let me just get out the way before I say anything blasphemous.
I definitely agree that at least in that point, just because of the fact that they've got a lot more teams done with 16, or with Forbidden West versus 16. But yeah, no, Zero Dawn, I love the game. Like, my gamer profile is Aloy on PlayStation, just because, you know, I love her. I love the whole game aspect. I've already beaten through it. I haven't platinumed it because I'm not too big on platinuming games. It's just because it's a lot of tedious work in there. I like to play for the story, for the content, you know, for the lore of the world and all in the way. Now, I say the lore of the world, but I don't go too heavy into it a lot of times. So, but it's a really, really fun game, guys. Very good exploration, RP capabilities, different play styles you could literally do in the whole game, different ways to approach missions and all that. The DLC is fantastic. They've only got the one out so far, which is the
Frozen.
I think it's Rosen. Called the Frozen. Yeah, Frozen North or something like that. But it's beautiful, guys. It's such a beautiful game, and I can't wait for Forbidden West. So if you haven't played it and you want to get it for decent cheap, this is a good way to get it on PC as well. You know, it's fantastic on any system you play it on, in my opinion. So what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for, the Nine Ball? Have you played it yet?
Yeah, you those are playing it.
Fantastic. There you go. So what are your comments on this? Go ahead and chime in. Jump inside the mud with us. You know what I mean?
It was worth, especially at $20. SCD Keys is a pretty trustworthy site as well, so you just missed out probably on a good deal, because I just checked. I don't really see no one there.
For this?
Yeah.
It better be, because that was news that was launched today.
What time?
Let me take a look.
They probably sold out of the keys is what it is.
Yeah.
You think they sold? Yeah. You think that's the thing?
Yep.
I'm thinking they sold out of keys.
I mean, they put it on there, and everyone who wanted it, they bought it up as fast. So you guys, it's like, you know, still some scalpers. I guarantee it's some scalpers. Go to eBay, you'll probably find the key on there for like $100 or more.
I seriously doubt you would pick those up.
I don't think they would either. They would be idiots to do it, but you never know, Nine Ball.
You never know. Sad.
There's some crazy people out there.
So with that being said, I know I beat the base game. Mildew, you beat the base game and the expansion. How are you able to give us like a time clock of where you're at? Right there. Now, by the way, that was 7 hours ago. For when that article had went up, but are you able to give
that
us?
Doesn't
a,
surprise me.
Yeah, are you able to give us a time frame of where you're at? Are you like 10 hours in, 20 hours in? Like, where are you at? Where, what percentage do you think you are of the game completed?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us?
I think we're having some technical difficulties with Nineball here, guys.
What?
Can you hear
me? Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you.
I was just saying, are you able to give us a time period of where you're at, like completion-wise of the game? Are you 9 hours in, 15 hours in? Like, where are you at? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I heard you loud and clear.
So, like, how far into the game are you?
Yeah.
I think he's still thinking, probably.
Oh, me?
Yeah!
God, I'm sorry.
Yeah! He's like, I think he's talking to me. He's like, how far are you into? Yeah. Are you building it? He's like sitting there going, building?
I can only re-ask the question so many times.
God, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to Mio Dewey. No.
Okay.
I'm still fairly at the beginning. I just started back over on my thing, so we're running it from the beginning and just going to play straight through.
Heard that.
It's pretty fun.
I like it. I recommend doing the there's hunting trials in there. Doing those, at least, because they get you extra items and stuff and perks that'll help you out. Also, changes up your playstyle a bit, or gives you a better playstyle sometimes. So, I'll say this: those time trials are annoying as freaking hell.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are, man.
But the benefits are so good.
Moving on to story number 4, we have here: Gran Turismo 7 beta leaked. So, James Carr from first off, is there any? Does this racing game do anything for anybody besides me? Are you guys interested in this? Are you guys excited for this or excited for other people or anything like that? Like, where is your guys' hype level at for this?
Not too high. I'm just not into most racing games. I'll get them and play them occasionally, but it's not, like, top of my list.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I don't really truly care too much for racing games, so it's the only one I really played much of was the Cruisin' USA one, and then the Mario Karts. So, and that just racing games never really held an interest to me. Like I said, I kind of like stories, adventures, explorations, and if I wanted to drive around the track, I'd just get in my car and drive around the block, you know.
There you go.
I did more Burnout Paradise for me.
I heard that. Yeah, I do enjoy racing games. Like I feel like my love for racing games had dropped down pretty significantly from earlier on PS1, PS2 era. But I still do enjoy a good racing game. Like The Crew is a fantastic game to me, just because I am able to get through the story. You're able to tour the entire United States. But not only that, you can do it with friends. You can do it with up to 3 other people. Which is pretty awesome to me. So, and Forza 5 Horizon also looks fantastic to me. But we're going to go on over to this story real fast by James Carr from GameSpot, which says, a beta from Gran Turismo 7 has reportedly leaked via the PlayStation website. As reported by GT Planet, the beta appears to be part of the experience of Experience PlayStation, a promotional aspect of the PlayStation website that engages players with special promotions through the quests and videos. I'm going to stop there real fast. This is the second time a leak has happened for GT7. It happened last year when it was rumored that was going to come out at the PlayStation event, and it did. Now it's on the PlayStation site, and it's been leaked again as far as the beta is supposed to be happening. So GT7 just could not catch a break for whatever reason. Moving on with the story, GameSpot was unable to verify this independently, but reports say that the beta could be accessed by going to the Star Quests and related campaigns where the Italia quest could be accessed. The quest is no longer appears to be the on the Experience PlayStation page, which currently reads, sorry, there are no quests available at this time. There were 4 quests, one of which were called Gran Turismo Beta Test, where after watching a short video, players would receive codes for the beta test. However, it was instead just a placeholder code that didn't work. Despite the code not working, being live, This quest seems to indicate that there is a Gran Turismo 7 beta possibly coming in the future. The reward code specified that it was for PlayStation 5 only. However, that might just be because the beta code is for PlayStation 5. Since Herman Holst, the head of PlayStation Studios, said Gran Turismo 7 will be releasing on PS4 and PS5. Gran Turismo 7 is set to be released sometime in 2022, and the Experience PlayStation page did not indicate when the beta might go live. So, with that being said, just betas in general leaking, does that do anything for you guys at all? Doesn't have to be Gran Turismo, but betas, does that get you guys excited? Do you guys normally try to dive inside betas when they're announced? Or is that something that's just like, it's cool information to know, and I'll just get it when I get it?
It depends on the game.
I mean, I like it personally if it has, like, if it's a free demo. Mm. Like, I'm not really into, oh, well, you got to pre-order your game in order to play this demo.
I'm right there with you. I'm right with you, man. I hate that. Now, if I'm getting it already, like, if it was a Final Fantasy VII Part 2 and they had some sort of pre-demo for that, I'm already getting it, so that's a benefit. But if it was a game that I'm on the fence about, I don't like going out of my way just so I can try to play this game and see if I like it or not.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I agree with that. If it's a free, you know, beta to play, I'm okay with doing that. I like kind of playing betas, you know. On Steam, I'll do early releases just because sometimes those are, if they're up my alley, those are really good, you know, and they can go good. But, you know, it's, but if you're saying like a beta and paying money for a beta, that's where I'm really like, why? You know, are you guys that short, you know, shortchanged saying, you know, fund me? You know, I'm like, I would say, you know, set up a GoFund or something, you know. Yeah. Go on Patreon, you know. Mm-hmm. But,
Bands only.
Yeah, like, something, you know, something. You know, but if it's a beta for a game I'm interested in, yeah, I'll play it, you know. Other than that, if it's not a beta then of a game that I'm not interested in, then I'll be like, you know, then whoever plays it, give them the data they need so that you can go with that group, you know. Like you said, Malachi, you play racing games. I'm not a big fan of those, but to those who play it, power to you, and hope you guys enjoy it, you know.
Words of wisdom right there. If it's free, it's for me. If it's free, it's for me.
Cheapskate.
Story number five that we have. former EA Gears of War and Company of Heroes had developers have a new studio.
Ooh.
Yeah. Let's talk about this. So Darren Bunthius from GameSpot says former Electronic Arts, Gears of War, and Company of Heroes developers have joined forces to launch a new studio called Timber Games under Sumo Group's Pipeworks Studio. Timber is Pipeworks' first new studio in North America, and it plans to launch additional studios in the near future. Timber will be led by EA veteran and Sims franchise leader Joe Nichols, who will take the role of the studio president. And he'll be joined by Zoe Kernow, Gears of War series, in parentheses, to join the studio production director of Jeff Coates, and in parentheses, Company of Heroes 2, as studio creative director. The studio's focus will be on games in the action, adventure, and simulation genres. Quote, with Timber, we want to build a studio from the ground up with focus on diversity, transparency, community involvement, in-game involvement, and sustainable, fun workplace culture, end quote, Nichols said in a statement. Quote, those priorities are shared by the Pipeworks, so it was a natural fit from the start. We're going to make great games right across Canada, fully embracing remote work and hybrid studio approach, end quote. Timber plans to differentiate itself from other studios by involving its community in the development process much sooner, keeping an eye on early access and community feedback while it builds its games. The studio also aims to recruit talent with different backgrounds and will partner local schools and communities to further incorporate more diverse voices into its structure and story. So, there you go, a new studio. Studio Timber. Timber Studios, or Timber Games, I should say. Timber Games is going to be up and coming. I don't know when they're officially going to get started, if they're started already. But What does this do for you guys? Again, this is EA, former EA, former Gears of War, and former Company of Heroes, too, combining together to make an action-adventure shooter type games, it looks like.
This is the start of a very bad joke.
Three developers walk to a bar.
Yeah.
No, it's three developers walk into a design studio and then out walks Saints Row 7.
Well, for me, I'm pretty happy. I want to see what they do, though, before I say anything. I'm wishing them the best. I'm hoping they give us a good game. They got a game under construction. I want to see what it is before I say anything. I'm glad to see it's actually bothering to make something different.
Mm-hmm.
10-1, it's going to be a new IP, so that's good. And I'm trying to probably look up more of these guys' resume to see what games they actually did.
And I will say, as you're looking that up, I'm going to correct myself. I said shooter. They didn't mention shooter inside the article. They said action, adventure, and simulation genres. So that's going to be more up the alley of what they're trying to do. Action,
adventures, and sims?
And simulation.
Yeah, Company of Heroes.
Yeah. They did Company of Heroes, Gears of War.
And one of them said Company of Heroes 2. Jeff Coates. He's from Company of Heroes 2.
That's a name I ain't heard of in a while.
It's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see what they come together and put out. So, you know, I mean, you're probably going to see collabs nowadays, which is fine. You know, I definitely think you're probably going to have a lot more studios kind of banding together because, you know, one group might have one certain skill set, the other one has another, and they can band together to create probably more off of it, you know, and, you know, use builds, you know, coding, stuff like that, that they find is, you know, really good that it would work with them. So we may see some more of that probably coming up soon, or eventually. And then my main thing is just seeing what they put out, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
best of luck to them.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how big their budget is because this has indie vibe mentality to it.
Mm-hmm.
But with all these people coming from pretty big name organizations, is it really going to be an indie? Like, I mean, I know that they're underneath. They're not really technically truly indie because they're under Pipeworks Studios. But still, like, I don't know. I don't know what type of quality of game that they plan on putting out. Obviously, we're putting the cart before the horse here. We're getting ahead of ourselves. like they haven't even came out with a game yet. They just announced that now there's Timber Games and that's that. So I'm very curious to see what they're going to come out with. I have absolutely no expectations because you have people from every single side of the spectrum. Gears of War, Electronic Arts, and Company of Heroes. It's just like those are all entirely different things. So I'm just kind of curious to see what they're going to do.
Throw it all into the blender.
Yeah. Come out with the cocktail.
See what happens.
Gents, that actually is all five stories of All Things Gaming for episode 55. And if you guys are listening on Anchor, I think it's episode 45. I could be wrong. Let me look that up before I mess that up. Episode 42. There it is.
So how dare you?
Listen on Anchor, it's on episode 42 for that. And I do want to jump into this again. We were talking about games that we were recently playing. I'm playing Final Fantasy 14. That's probably what we're going to jump onto a little bit afterwards because I know It's an Eyeball is going to help me with the dungeon so I can proceed on a little bit further inside the story. He's a healer. I'm a tank. And those are the two hardest things to find. So let's get this bread. You have Mildew Carrot that is playing Conan. And you have It's an Eyeball that's still chipping away at Horizon Forbidden or Zero Dawn. But
don't forget I'm also playing Amazon, the video game.
But I do want to ask you guys this. This is not a question that's on the dock. I want you guys to really think about this.
No.
On your backlog, What are three top games you guys are planning on beating that are not what you're currently playing right now?
I picked some are up. What did I put in that?
Oh yeah, get a list. I'll go ahead and put in that Jeopardy music.
I had to take a look.
do you have all three, or do you need some time?
With the Warhammer game.
Remix.
That one. I'm putting that in active. Fortunately, I have an active section that I'm supposed to be working on. It's supposed to keep me focused because, you know, you start playing the game, then you get sidetracked. And you go, try this game. I still got to do Resident Evil 3, Tales of Zestiria, and Warhammer 40K Inquisitor. Yeah, Inquisitor.
Yeah. I only know that word because of Dragon Age Inquisition. That's the thing. They always reference your character as the Inquisitor.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what was the first game again?
Oh, God. I think, I want to say, was it Resident Evil 3?
Resident Evil 3, okay.
Tales of Zestiria.
Okay.
And Warhammer Inquisitor Martyr.
Okay. Mildewy Carrot, you're on the clock.
I was looking around. I've got on my list, kind of in the back end, is says Wanted Hellblade. I've got that for PC. Trying to find it again to make sure I do still have that thing. Yeah, Hellblade. So one, Senua's Sacrifice. Yeah. So I'm going to be playing through that here eventually. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. I definitely need to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey. My bro TBF Abyss has been on me about that one. He says I really would like that one. So I've got it. So I've got to play it. And then because it just launched and on the last month's store, for free is going to be the Star Wars. It's a new Star Wars fighter game that came out a while ago. That was on the PS Plus free section.
Oh, Squadrons!
Squadrons, yeah. There we go. So I've got that. So that's also on my list too.
Does that have a campaign?
Play. It's got a campaign. It's a short one, but it's on there, and I don't care because I really like the fighter games. So
that's fine. If it has a campaign, that's all the more reason to beat it.
Yep. Most of the other games I tend to have, I think, have I've already beaten, or I'm like halfway through beating. So it's more just me trying to do a nine ball and try and stay focused as well, but Conan came along and I was like, ooh, shiny.
Heard that, man.
Yeah, the shiny.
I still have to get through Outriders. So I definitely
played that. You liked it.
Yeah, it is actually a really fun game. It is one of those ones where it's just like, it's not your first appetite to go to. You're more prone to play it when you have people to play with. It's a lot more fun that way. But I do want to get through Outriders. I still have to get through For Honor, the campaign for that. That's more of a personal goal for me. Definitely want to get through that. And then I do want to get through...
You're almost done with that one.
Yeah, and I do want to get through Judgment, which I have right now on PlayStation Now. So I want to get through that because Lost Judgment is going to be coming out here relatively soon. So I want to kind of get ready for that. It's not really high up there on my list, but it is something that I have been starting. Along with Neo, been starting that too as well. There's just a few games that, I guess I'll take out Judgment and I'll put it in Watch Dogs Legion. I want to get through that, beat that all the way through because that's a pretty fun game. And that one was the one that was giving me my Cyberpunk 2077 fix when I was going through the Cyberpunk 2077 issues. so So yeah, Watch Dogs Legion, For Honor, and Outriders are the games that I would be focusing on sooner than later. I'm determined to get done with my backlog. Will I be successful? We shall see. But I'm determined to get through my backlog. So that, at least on one console, I'll say that, at least on one console. But guys, that does it here for us at All Things Gaming. As a reminder for anyone that is a Smite fanatic like we are, the Stranger Things Battle Pass had launched today, which also, from what Nineball had informed me, is No Boots meta. No Boots meta had actually started today too as well. So you don't have to buy boots anymore for when you're playing Smite. So that's going to be kind of interesting of how people start building and working together on that.
Then they nerfed the Acorn for Red Tasker, but it makes sense. He would be overpowered as freaking hell.
Definitely want to make sure you guys have a reminder that this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is Smite Night. You may be able to catch Mildewy Carrot jumping on a little bit earlier with some of our favorite people, a.k.a. It's the Nineball and Ohio. But I will be joining the party a little bit later. At 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That usually goes until 10 p.m., 9:30, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then this Saturday, I do have it on the schedule for our 9 to 5 segment. We're actually going to push that back until next Saturday. So Saturday the 24th is going to be our 9 to 5 segment, and we will announce what game we are going to play some point this week, next week, on social media. So be on the lookout for that. Of course, make sure you guys are following us on social media, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook. Just type in ALWT Gaming. If you can't find us on YouTube by ALWT Gaming, just type in At Least We Try Gaming, and we should pop right on up, see our lovely faces, see the thumbnail of Mildewy Carrot or Shelbs, a.k.a. Gravity Mark II, or me. You know what I mean? So we'll have to kind of take a look at all that. Until next time, everybody. Do you guys have any last words before we dip out of here?
Stay safe, game on.
Same here.
That's a motto. That's a freaking motto right there. Stay safe, game freaking on, dude. That's it.
Put it on a t-shirt.
What about you there, Nineball?
He just wrapped it all up.
He just Chuck Norris that, didn't he? There you go.
Bruce lead it.
Yeah. Well, appreciate you guys. Love you guys. And one last little reminder out there. If you guys have Amazon Prime, you guys have Twitch Prime, combine the two accounts, you guys can get a free sub. You guys can give it to one of your Twitch streamers. If you guys don't want to use it for ALWT Gaming, that's fine. But make sure you guys use it for somebody else, because otherwise that's $5 you're wasting monthly otherwise. Until next time, everybody. Control Alt.
Complete.
Complete.
Peace.